Good morning. It's a real honor for me to be here with you this morning with my family. Again, as I mentioned during the Sunday school, you are the biggest supporter we have as a church. We are so blessed to have you in our ministry. I would like to start by sharing to you what the Lord is doing in South Africa. I believe that the ministry there is growing, and we are very excited in so many things, in so many ways. We are involved with developing programs for the national ministry in South Africa. I am the field representative of the Things to Commission to South Africa, and I'm also in charge of reporting what's going on in South Africa to our office in Indianapolis. And we are also involved in church planting. We have a goal to plant 20 churches by the year 2020. That's a big job for us. I planted one church in Kenton Park, and I thought I can plant some more. But instead of planting another church, I decided to start a Bible school and train people to become pastors and pastors to church planters. And as of now, since March, we already planted two churches to add on to our seven churches we have in our ministry. We also have a Bible school. We started 4 years ago. We started with seven first year. Right now we have 26 first year and 8 second year. And next year, we are hoping to double the attendance of the Bible school. Right now, we already have 10 Bible students waiting for January, and 5 from other church, 15, plus some more coming. We have a lot of students coming this January, and we are believing that the Lord is going to send us more. We are going to start advertising our Bible school next year, and believing that the Lord will give us more students. One thing I like with the Bible school is there are so many pastors and elders from non-grace churches that are attending the Bible school, learning the grace message, and when they go to their churches, they're preaching what they're learning from the Bible school. And so we are so blessed with that. And because of that, we won 2 full congregations just in 2 year time. Talking about growing the ministry in a rapid way, winning 2 churches, for me, it's not a bad move, bad idea. We also have Bible studies. We have Bible studies with the South Africans. We have Bible studies with the Filipinos. We preach 3 times a day. And if we have a Bible study in the evening, 4 times. We go out from our house early in the morning and come home almost midnight. We work and work and work because we believe that's our job, that's our passion, that's our desire. And we are so blessed to be having this privilege of serving the Lord in South Africa full time and with a growing ministry. We have 3 campus ministries, one with public school and 2 private schools. We preach to a total number of about close to 4,000 students every week during break time. When we go back to South Africa, we are going to start a video ministry because there are so many requests from other parts of South Africa for us to go, and we cannot do that. We have no budget for the traveling, and we are so busy in our area of ministry in our province, and having a video ministry and sending them DVDs and maybe setting up a website would be a lot easier. But we are also hoping to expand our work, not just in South Africa, but also in the southern part of the African continent. My wife, she is involved with different ministries, with women ministries, and also with the young people and music. And we are so blessed also to have her as a teacher of music and instruments in our national ministry. If you want to learn more about our ministry, we have prayer cards and brochures outside there. Feel free also to sign up your name and address and contact numbers right there outside. If you want to connect with us, you will be able to receive our newsletter we release every 3 months. I hope that you saw our presentation in the morning. Now let's go to the Word of God. This morning I would like to talk about God's vision, our mission. God's vision, our mission. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll be reading verse 3 and verse 4. And I would like to compare this verse with the book of Matthew chapter 21. Yes, this is a kingdom passage, but I would like to share a picture of what God wants to accomplish on this earth. Starting from 1 Timothy chapter 2, reading from verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Go to the book of Matthew chapter 21. We'll be reading verse 1 all the way to verse 3. "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, The Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them.'" May the Lord will add blessings upon the reading of the scriptures. God's vision. What is that something that God wants to accomplish on this earth? Why he sent Jesus Christ on this earth? Why we are still on this earth? There must be a reason why we are still on this earth. There must be a reason why he sent Jesus Christ on this earth. And Apostle Paul lays a very strong vision from God here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and verse 4. Number one, because God wants all men to be saved. God desires all men to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible talks about God is not willing that anybody should perish. God loves this world. God loves all people in this world. And he wants all of them, he wants all of us to be saved. He did not just die for few rich and famous people. He died for all. Number two, God wants all people to come to the knowledge of the truth. Not just knowledge about the scriptures, about the Bible, but knowledge about the grace of God, the truth in the time of grace. God wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. The grace truth. The truth for today. Apostle Paul is very strong on this truth, and he wants all people to know about this truth because of, for me, a couple of reasons. Number one, Romans 16, verse 25. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Apostle Paul says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel," that's the gospel that he received from the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace, and he says, "and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began." Apostle Paul says, this gospel that he receives from God is the one that can establish us, establish people. Yes, maybe you know the gospel that God has given to Noah and to Moses and to, you know, the people in the time past. But if you have not learned yet the gospel of grace given to Apostle Paul, then you have no power, you have no element that God can use for you to be strong in the faith, to establish you in the faith. And another reason that we have to make sure that people will know the grace message is because in Romans chapter 2, verse 16, the same book, Romans chapter 2, verse 16. Apostle Paul says, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, and he says, according to my gospel. The gospel of grace, the gospel that Apostle Paul receives from Jesus Christ, is the basis of judgment. We have to tell the people about this grace so that they will learn, they will know the basis, the criteria for judgment. Romans chapter 2, verse 16 is a very powerful verse. God's vision. God wants to accomplish something on this earth through us. Not through the angels. Not through the animals. Not through the creation that you can see out there. But through us, believers, particularly. He wants to accomplish through us. And we have to know these things because we are going to do them. We must do them. It's not a matter of we have the option to do them. We have to do them. They are commandments from God in the time of grace. And our part on these commandments of God in the time of grace is to obey. Not just to listen and learn, but to obey. Sometimes, grace believers, we are too educated beyond our ability to obey. We know everything, and yet we are guilty of not obeying the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21, the Bible reminds us of the following. Number one, we have a missionary God. It's not Facebook commission who started reaching out the people in this world. We have a missionary God. He himself started this reach out, this going to believer or unbelievers and make them believers. Preach the word. Teach the word. We have a missionary God. He himself sent Jesus Christ to this world. We have the famous John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. We have a missionary God. Verses 18 and 19 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians is very clearly speaking about that. And we have to remember that we are all missionaries. You are missionaries. You are missionaries. We are all missionaries in this world. If you claim that you're a believer, you have the Word of God, you have the grace message, you have the message of salvation, reconciliation, then you're a missionary and you are obliged to share what you have received from God to others. You have a mission to do. You are not on this earth for a holiday or to be crazy with your job and with your family. We have a job of reconciling people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all missionaries. Yeah, it happens that we are missionaries in South Africa, but you are missionaries in America, in Fort Worth, in your own place. You have a mission to do. We have a ministry of reconciliation. Yeah, we have so many ministries in South Africa, yes. We are trying to do the best that we can. How I wish we can have more. But what is your ministry? What are the things you are doing and or have been doing in your community, in your town, in your city, in your family? Because the Bible says you have a ministry. And Apostle Paul here in 2 Corinthians, he was not writing to missionaries. He was writing to ordinary believers. And he says, you have a ministry of reconciliation. And then we have a message of reconciliation. We have a message to preach. We don't have to figure out what we are going to preach. It's already in the Bible. The question probably is, what are we doing with the ministry that God has given us, and what we are doing with the message that we have received from Him? Imagine you have a seed,
but now you keep the seed in the drawer instead of planting the seed
to the fertile ground and see fruits. I don't care if you know the Bible very well. You probably know the Bible more than us and more than your pastor. That's not the main issue here. The question is, what are you doing with the things that you have received from God? Are you putting that knowledge in a drawer and let it die with you? Or you are using it, spreading it, planting it to the hearts of the people? I have a serious question, maybe a simple one for those who are actively doing this. When was the last time you led people to the Lord? 5 years ago? Last 2 weeks? If 10 years ago, you are a lousy missionary. I'm so blessed I led 4 people last couple of weeks. But still, I'm not so satisfied with that performance. I should be leading people to the Lord every day, every minute, because that's my job as a missionary on this earth. But you are missionaries too. But when was the last time you shared the gospel? And when was the last time you led somebody to the Lord? Because you are a missionary. Oh, we are all guilty. Don't raise your hands, because, you know, that's not good. That's not my desire this morning, to make you guilty. I'm guilty too of not doing everything, you know. How can we accomplish this vision from God? How can we accomplish our mission on this earth? I would like to share a couple of things. Number one, intentional sharing. Intentional sharing. We have to make sure that we share the gospel. Apostle Paul, I like him because by intention, he goes and he preaches the word. So many times the Holy Spirit would block his way and say, hey, don't go there. But he goes because there's a burning desire deep down in his heart to share the message of salvation to others. Paul had a burning desire deep down inside him to preach the word to the lost. You claim to be a follower of Apostle Paul. Do you have the same burning desire deep down in you? You're a follower of Apostle Paul. Are you willing to do extra jobs and maybe sacrifice a little bit to be able to share the gospel that saves you to those who are still lost out there? When we talk about doors of the ministry and opportunities, there's what we call open door. When you see an open door, get inside the door and preach the word. But there's also a closed door. Go and open the door yourself. But there is also, and this is very sad, locked door. There are so many locked doors in this world. Countries that we are not allowed to preach the word. And what you are supposed to do? Go and find the key. They're there. Somewhere there. Go and find it yourself. And when you find that key, get into that door. Somebody in there is looking for salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2 until 5, the Bible talks about we have to preach the word, be in season and out of season. Sometimes we are preachers by accident, but we have to make plans to share. Again, I'm talking about intentional sharing. We have to preach the word of God because salvation is by choice, not by chance. We have to give people the opportunity to make a decision. Salvation is by hearing the word, not doing good works. So we have to let them hear the word first of all. I like the accounts in Mark chapter 2. The 4 men there who brought the paralytic man to Jesus Christ, for me, the picture to us this morning of what a missionary should act or look like, or be like. You know, we had the great opportunity of listening to Jesus Christ. The Rabbi, the Messiah, the Savior is in town. Come, sit on the front seat and get the blessings and the miracles and wonders. Yeah, others, they were there so early. The Bible says the house was full packed. There was no space for one more. How much more for a bed and a paralytic man? There was no space, but these four fantastic men, as I call them, they went to the paralytic man's house and then carried the man and his bed, and then they brought him to Jesus Christ. It was not easy for them, but they did it because they love the man. They were compassionate. They were strategic. And they were willing to take risks and even sacrifices to make sure that that man comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you that type of a person? And how I pray and how I wish that this church will be filled with those fantastic men that the book of Mark chapter 2 was talking about. Another thing that I would like to share is passionate training. Not just intentional sharing of the Word of God, but passionate training. We have to train the people that we reach out for Jesus Christ. When we talk about training, I'm talking about mentoring and discipleship. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 talks about, you know, Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. But you have here the process from God to Apostle Paul to young Timothy to faithful men and then to others. Are we doing this type of training in a church or in our ministry? Well, in South Africa, yes. We have a Bible school. We are so blessed to have a training program that those pastors and even the new believers coming to the Bible school, they get a solid teaching from the Word of God in the dispensational, mid-acts dispensational perspective, but also they are trained to do the work, to carry on the ministry. And I'm so glad that I'm not doing the ministry alone anymore. I multiplied myself. We need to train others, because the ministry is not about us. It's about everybody. It's about the body of Christ. It's about the saved people reaching out these lost and poor sinners and bring the people to Jesus Christ. If we truly follow Apostle Paul, we should follow Apostle Paul not just in his doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 10 to 11, the Bible says that we have to follow Apostle Paul in his doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecution, affliction, and all of these things. Not just doctrine. Not just doctrine. Yeah, I know the grace message, but what will happen to the grace message if I remain in the Philippines, if I remain in my bedroom, if I remain kind of exclusively keeping it, and I enjoy it, yes. But you see, the value of the Word of God and the power of the Word of God, you can see it when you start opening your mouth and sharing the things that you have learned from God to others. Timothy was mentored by Apostle Paul. How long have you been a grace believer? Do you have a Timothy? Who is your Timothy? When you die, is somebody going to take over, fill your shoes, or continue your ministry, or whatever you are doing now? Or you die alone, and you vanished, and nobody cares about you? My glory would be that one day when I'm old or I'm dead, somebody is going to talk about me, because there was a time I mentored
I trained somebody. Oh, maybe I'm small and young and Filipino and all of these imperfections, not speaking American English. Yes. But I'm so proud that in my life, in my mission in South Africa, I have the privilege of training wonderful people, big, famous, influential people. And I don't know how long I'm going to stay on this earth, but I know that when I'm gone, somebody will continue the ministry. And not just one, but many will continue my ministry. The ministry will not die with me. Lastly, aside from intentional sharing, passionate training, we have to do strategic church planting. Yeah, you have a church here, pretty established. But do you have any goal? Do you have, as a person, not as a church, but a person, do you have a desire to reach out your community and, if possible, start a Bible study group and, if possible, start a church? Apostle Paul was a church planter. When I look at Texas, it's a great country. I mean, state. Well, it's kind of country too. It's a great state. How many churches we have here? I mean, grace churches. I'm not talking about mega churches of other church, you know, church organizations. Grace churches. Very few, right? Are we really following Apostle Paul aggressively and more dynamic in this area of ministry? It seems not very much. Church planting. Every time we plant a church, we are planting a landmark of the grace message, the landmark of Christianity, the landmark of Jesus Christ in the community. Every time I look at this church or people will pass by and look at this building, they would say, there are believers around the area. There are grace believers around the area. That's why our goal in South Africa is to plant many churches, as many as we can, so that when people look at, you know, those churches and those buildings, they would say, wow, there are believers in this area. And then eventually discover that there are grace believers in the area. The book of Romans, the book of Corinthians, and so many writings of Apostle Paul talk about church planting. Church planting. When I talk about strategic church planting, you have to at least make a plan to plant a church. Not just like, okay, there's a piece of land, build a building, and no members there. That's not strategic. And don't just make a plan to build a building without doing evangelism, without telling the community about your plan. But this church, I believe, is able and capable of planting another church somewhere out there. I don't know where. You figure it out. But very few churches in Texas state, and I'm sure there are so many places they need a grace church. And you are here. And I know God will empower you to do it. You have to target. You have to plan. You have to train. You have to release. You have to partner. This is the cycle of ministry. And we are so blessed that we are doing this in South Africa. And how I wish that the South Africa ministry will grow, but also how I wish that the grace ministry in the U.S. in general will keep on growing. My heart breaks when I visit churches that, you know, that have so great big buildings, but 12 people during Sunday service. And part of the 12 is myself, my wife, and my 2 kids. Can you believe it? And yet we have a very strong, powerful grace message. Something is not right.
Now I'm making you guilty. And that's one of my missions here while traveling. And kind of putting guilt and allowing people to see the need. Because we think of a mission field as outside America, countries that are poor, Africa, Asia, or Latin America. No, even America is a mission field. And I hope you can say amen to that. America is a mission field. There are, you know, wonderful places, wonderful people here that we can reach out with the grace message. And I don't think that the grace organization in America is big enough to be called an organization that is well and solidly established. We can do more. And so, beloved, while I'm so grateful that you are supporting us in our mission in South Africa, how I pray and wish that you will keep on supporting this church. Supporting by coming here. Every time that there is a church service, as long as the door is open, come here. Clean the church. Help. Because this church has a mission of reaching out the lost and edifying the saints. You have to keep on investing on the things that are eternal. Ministry, the Word of God, and the souls of men. These are eternal things that you can put your time, your talent, and your treasures. And when you go to heaven, I don't know, maybe this is now, you know, my personal view. The Lord will tell you, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for challenging us with your word. Thank you for reminding us that we are all missionaries. And we have to preach the word. We have to teach the word, the wonderful, precious word of grace. We have to evangelize and edify people. But we also have to train them when they come to know you. Develop them and make them workers. So that they will be able to do the job that God has called them to do. Accomplish God's vision on this earth. Lord, we also thank you for the encouragement about planting churches. There are so many places in Texas and in America and all over the world. These places, they need churches. And we pray that you will continue to use us mightily. Help us to be excited about the work. Help us to be aggressive in our work. And help us to be faithful, available, and teachable. And we pray that we'll be able to do the work that you have given to us. Thank you for this church, Lord. I commit them into your presence as they continue to serve you in this area. And also as they partner with us in our work in South Africa. In Jesus' name, amen.